This is Transmission, a bilingual digital marketing podcast presented by Alphaco Marketing and Media. Hello, hello, and welcome to Transmission. This is an Alphaco Marketing and Media podcast, and I am joined, as always, by my esteemed colleague, Juan Pablo Osorio. Juan Pablo, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. It's the beginning of the summer, and sending a hello to all of our audience members joining us today.
So I'm reading here in our outline, you have pool opening for the summer. Are you going to like a local community pool?
Man, so I have to tell you that growing up in Colombia, every day is a pool day because it's the equator, so it's eternal sure. Spring. So when I came to the U.S. and I learned that there's a day where all the pools in the U.S. open, Memorial Day weekend, that became like a super holiday for me. And now that I have children, you know, definitely it becomes a time to be active and enjoy the summer in the pool.
Man, that's really cool. And I love the idea of having like, I love seasons. I think that seasons are really cool because there's scarcity, right? I mean, obviously, it being pool season year-round in Colombia is great, but it kind of makes it special that pool season is only 4 or 5 months here in Texas, where it kind of is pool season all year. But I love the idea of it opening and closing and like the scarcity that creates. I also, for me, just love the sense of community that comes from like public pools. Where I grew up when I was a kid, like I had a couple of friends with pools, and so we would do that. But we didn't have like pool culture. And I think pool culture is actually really fun.
Man, hot dogs and pool, what can beat that?
You absolutely know. Man, I completely agree.
Man, so how about you? How's your summer starting up?
Absolutely, man. You know, a couple of things. One, I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but I'm a big movie fan. I think that, you know, movies, TV, I think this stuff drives culture in a lot of ways. So it's really important for us as marketers to stay kind of in touch with and on top of. And you're mentioning pool culture, and that reminds me of a movie I just saw, not really appropriate for the pod. So everybody just know you're getting an R-rated movie I'm about to recommend here, but it's called Snack Shack. And it's just about two kids who end up like opening the snack store at their local pool. Really, really, really cool movie about pool season. And I just saw that like a couple of weekends ago. So that's something that's really topical for me. The other thing that I want to kind of mention is just some of the storms that we've been having here. You and I think, have been very fortunate to stay out of them. But I know in Temple, where I used to live, they just got hit with a hurricane, or not a hurricane. Wow. Hurricanes are for Houston. A tornado. Tornadoes are for Temple. It's good to be alliterative. So, you know, want to give thoughts and prayers to them, but also, and this is going to be a very forced segue, it just kind of gets me thinking like how good planning for disasters can really make all the difference in the world. You know, I think when I think about natural disasters, I think about like the times it snows in Texas and nobody knows what to do, or the times that it snows when I've been in, say, like Colorado, and everybody drives anyway, everybody does everything anyway, because they know exactly how to act and behave in the snow. They're planned and they're ready for it. And that kind of makes me think about our topic today, which is, you know, how do we set up our initial strategy? How do we plan for success? And so really excited to talk about that today and to really highlight it. Our big topic for the day is how to set up your initial strategy. Juan Pablo, anything else going on in your life before we jump right in?
Man, I love talking about business. So you got me already thinking about this. I'm ready to go, my brother.
Cool, man. Cool. I'm looking forward to it, too. So I wanted to kind of introduce the topic, you know, how do we set up our initial strategy? What do we think about? And I kind of want to talk about, like, to start, how do we get mentally ready? There is the work. And Juan Pablo, you've got a lot of great things to say about the like act of doing it. For me, I kind of want to start thinking about what kind of mindset do we want to be in, and what questions do we want to have answered before we maybe get like too far down the road. First thing that's really important, I think, is like just understanding who you are. You know, what is your business? What are your goals? What are your business's goals? If you're the owner operator of a business, really knowing yourself is going to be super important, but also knowing your goals. And then the other piece here that's extremely important, who are your potential customers? Who are your potential patients? Who is your audience? How do you motivate them to get to you? Those are kind of the two questions, like who am I trying to speak to? And then you want to start your plan kind of around that. So that being said, Juan Pablo, why don't you walk us through some of the more like hands on the ground specific things we can do as we're thinking through starting a business or setting up a branding strategy, I should say.
I think there's two things. It's understanding your personal you and what you want to do, and make sure that you're in the right industry and passion and have everything aligned.
Love the way you said that. Love understanding your you. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just love that. That was a great way to phrase that.
Yes, sir. And then we go into the you of your company, of your entity, of your brand. So now we get more into understanding the market that you serve. So understanding as a brand, understanding who you are is really understanding your market and what you offer to them. And you know, I think at this point of setting up the strategies to make sure that we think of bird's eye view. You know, a strategy is very like a wide, a guidance, a north, like a guiding direction. But the tactics define the specific things that we're gonna do on the ground as we move towards that direction. So at this point, we're really thinking big and strategic.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I kind of wanted to add on there is, you know, going back to my first two questions, going back to kind of understanding yourself, if you can answer those questions, it's going to guide really nicely a lot of what comes next. You know, if we don't have those questions answered and we're truly starting from zero as we go and answer some of these other questions, A, it's not necessarily going to create a cohesive strategy, and B, it's just going to take you ages to ever come up with anything because you don't have a North Star. You don't have anything guiding you. And like having that true North, having that understanding of you, your market, what you want to do is going to really help you as you go through and refine some of the next steps on this process.
And man, I want to say that we can use AlphaCore as an example. That the moment we realize that AlphaCore, beyond the name and a logo and a branding kit, who we were and what we wanted to do, it's we knew we wanted to do websites, digital marketing, lead generation related to websites. So we were that in that part of the digital marketing. But what made us even who made us us. That once we figure out who we were, is that we serve the we help businesses communicate with in English and Spanish, and that really helped us as a guiding star of what were the tactics gonna be to communicate that and present that to our target audience.
Totally agree. And I think that it's really important that we point out there, you know, what may seem obvious is that decision came from a like a an us-centric, a you-centric point of view. I don't think we would have chosen to be a bilingual agency if we didn't have bilingual members on the board and people who were passionate about that. That comes from a place of passion and deeply caring about what we're doing. That really does help guide you. And, you know, we wouldn't have done that if that wasn't part of who we are and part of our story and our journey.
And it takes some time to figure that out. In the beginning, it was just like, we know we do websites, but we couldn't, we took us some time to really have that as moment of sincerity and really understanding like what made us different. And if you find that about your business, then that's really your differentiation. You know what makes you stand out from your competitors, which is your unique value proposition. And you can have general services. You know, it definitely hit the general services because those are the ones that are going to bring you in, whatever your product or service is. But through that, find what makes you you, and that starts becoming part of the brand, not just on the logo and the colors and how the appeal, but also on the ground itself, and the tactics are driven by them.
Yeah, absolutely. What's next for us as we kind of get started?
So as we understand ourselves, we go into more setting up a plan. That's like setting up a clear goals and objectives. And discuss a little bit on the like setting up your marketing plan, basically. This is the time to set up your marketing plan. Now that we get into this point.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is another example of where, like, the conversation we had last week, I think, flows really nicely into this conversation. As we set clear goals and objectives, think quarterly, think annually, think every 3 years, think 5 years, think 10 years. Set up very clearly defined benchmarks for you. And then also, you know, figure out how you're going to measure success too. It's not enough to say, I want to be a good marketing agency, or I want to be a good law firm, or I want to be a good bilingual restaurant. What does that even mean? What is good? What are those goals? Is it you want to help support, you know, X number of people in your community? Is it you want to grow revenue by X percent. Is it, you know, I took out a bunch of debt to start this company and I want to make enough money to service my debt. You can pick really any clear objective that you want. What's most important is that you have one and then you know how to identify and measure whether or not you're being successful at it.
Yes. And you know, I think there's two starting points where they're like, you're starting from the ground up, or you already have a business that's going and it's like, okay, guys, maybe we should pay attention to marketing. And that's a strong position to be in. But wherever the starting point of you being strategic about your marketing, having a marketing plan and setting up smart goals, keeping your team accountable to make sure that the marketing is leading into sales and sales is leading to increase of revenue. So it all comes together to bring value to your business. So how do you do a marketing plan? First, know who you are, what you do, what you service, who your target audience is. And now we create a marketing plan that is going to define more of who the audience is and how we're going to reach them. And what is going to be the marketing mix? The marketing mix is the collateral and the efforts, everything together that is going to give you a outcome. And the outcome in marketing would be to drive new business, increase awareness. So you could have a one-page marketing plan. Doesn't have to be too complicated, but as being deliberate and intentional is very important. I think one of the main things is understanding, being like having an empathetic exercise of your audience and understand where they're at so that you can build your plan around that.
You know, something that we talk a lot about and that I like is rattling around my brain from studying all this stuff so many years ago and working in it now. We don't call it this, but it is what it is the four P's, right? Product, price, place, promotion. I know I'm stealing these from you a little bit. I appreciate you letting me do so. I'm bringing this up because I want to talk about one in particular, which for us is really place. With the people that we work with, we find over and over again that having a really strong sense of place, and I don't just mean like physical geographic place, I mean your place within the market. Understanding, you know, again, back to what you're saying, being empathetic, understanding who your clients are, that's really what drives business for the folks we work with. Yeah, product, price, promotion, those are all important. Those all have a place, if you will. But understanding your place in the market, in your community, amongst your peers and amongst your clients, I think is one of the biggest differentiators and one of the biggest determinants of success. I mean, sure, if you're priced, you know, 1,000 times more than your competitor, you've made a big mistake. It's 2024, you can go look up competitors on the internet and oftentimes get a good sense of like price. And then you can test that. That's really easy to test as you're talking to folks. But place is something that's a little bit more ephemeral and a little bit harder to judge. But once you nail it, we just see new business rolling in for folks who get that. Speaking of place, you know, I think that kind of does segue nicely into channels. How do you go about choosing some of your marketing channels, picking like what you want to do for your marketing plan?
Yeah, so I'm going to spill some beans and share some sauce here. Pay attention for the audience, but this is part of how we do things. And we really call it an industry standard, where we go see what some of the main competitors are doing in your industry. We look at what's being effective in their marketing mix. How are they approaching their customers, who they're talking to? And so we call this a competitor analysis. That really helps us have, I would say, we call it an industry standard, but it's really a platform to then base and build your marketing plan and choose your marketing channels.
Just because I kind of want to, I want to do a little exercise here. We didn't talk about this in advance, so I know I'm really breaking the mold, but what would you say, let's leave AI out. I think AI is too new and a little bit more complex, but like setting aside AI, like what would you say is one of the more like revolutionary products to hit the market in the last 15 to 20 years? Electric cars, Tesla maybe, social media certainly is groundbreaking. I don't know, do you have any other ideas? Can you think of anything?
I think a voice, a command over voice, that, you know, because it allowed people to search and...
I'm not going to use that because that doesn't serve my metaphor very nicely, but I hear what you're saying, and I think that is a great piece of tech. I don't necessarily know that it's a great product yet because I'm not entirely sure how they're making money off of that outside of maybe like data mining, which is kind of a different deal. But I'll take Tesla, because I kind of want to talk about Tesla here. So Tesla is really revolutionary. They build electric vehicles, which is totally changing how people, you know, drive cars and interact with the environment and people's attitudes towards the environment because of the advent of electric vehicles. And you know what would have been great for them, and what I'm absolutely confident, 100% certain they did? They definitely looked at the existing car market and looked at their competitors in the existing car market to help them build their strategy to move forward. My point here, and the reason I'm saying this, is it doesn't matter what you're doing or how creative or inventive or new the thing you think is, you can 100,000% go and find a competitor or somebody who's been there before that you can learn from. Do not ever make the mistake of thinking that there are not shoulders for you to stand on. No matter how groundbreaking you are, there is some business model that has done this in the past that can help you make better decisions moving forward. Sorry, that's my end of my rant.
No, yes, sir. Yes, exactly. And that, you know, I think that it seems simple, but for a new business owner or a manager or your business, you're thinking on the day-to-day and value, and now you start thinking about marketing plan, and it can get complicated. But you know what we do is we do a competitive analysis, just like doing comps on different industries, and then now we're going to see, kind of do an audit and a checklist of what your collateral is. Do you have a logo, a brand book? Do you, if you already have those, okay. Do you have social media channels? Do you have a website? What does it look like? What do your competitors' websites look like? What are they doing on social media? Are they running ads? And so we start looking and seeing what's working for some of your competitors. We start looking at what they're not doing that we know you can do. And now we develop a plan, even if it's in one or a brief one pager. It really gives you an idea to be intentional. Follow the overall strategy with tactics that are going to serve that strategy, which is, of course, acquire new clients, grow market share.
Well, it's the goals you outlined before, you know. Oftentimes it's new clients or market share, but these same rules would apply to an altruistic foundation, right? Maybe your goal has nothing to do with profit. Your goal is simply to serve your community. You know, whatever strategy you implement should align with your goals and your key performance indicators. You know, if the strategy is to get more people talking about, you know, something you're interested in, that's very different from getting more people to buy blue jeans, right? Set your strategy and plan towards your strategy.
I wanted to say I've been able to help the marketing of nonprofits, and it's been different metrics from, it's not always donations either. It could be like, how many voters did you register to sign up, and
how many meals did you serve?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yes. So whatever the goals are, that then your marketing channels and your marketing plan would be the entity, the organization would prioritize their human resources and their capital resources in the mix of a marketing plan.
And, you know, I think we want to move on after this. I know we're kind of belaboring this point, but again, you know, picking a really solid true north at the beginning is really, really helpful. What I've found over and over and over and over again, no matter what, even if it's weak, though, if you can make it a stronger true north, that's better. Whatever your true north is, that's where the organization is going to reset to. No matter what, whatever your true north is, that's where you're going to reset to. That's what's going to be the priority. That's what everybody's going to do. It having that kind of vision has gravity, and that gravity pulls you, your organization, and the people who work for you towards it. So setting that goal is really, really important. You want to nail that, because that is your true north. You know, maybe it's dark at night and there's clouds over the sky and you don't know where to go. You find the North Star and you go back that way until you make your way out of the clouds and you figure out what to do next. But your true north is always there for you. All right. Sorry to, again, kind of go off on a little bit of a diet.
Yes, sir. So based on that, understanding your direction, we recommend looking at it from the three things: your content, your digital marketing, your traditional marketing, and your social media. So on the digital marketing front, we're looking at your website. We're looking at, do you want to do search engine optimization, ads? We do look at your social media involved with that. So we can do a marketing mix of digital services. That's what Alpha Code does. But on the traditional marketing, there's also like print advertising and direct mail, sponsorships, events, setting up a booth, different in-person or traditional. And then And then, of course, based on what channels you choose, going into developing content for them ahead of time, like doing a content plan and strategy as well.
Absolutely. And again, as you develop that strategy, remember what your true north is, you know? If your true north is to help, help the elderly better interact with their community, oh, well, the internet may not be the right channel for you. You may need to go use some different channels, like, I don't know, the newspaper for something like that. If your goal, though, is to get more kids playing youth sports, you probably want to be on TikTok. You probably want to be on the internet, right? If you understand your audience, you understand your goal, it helps guide these decisions along the way. And sometimes it makes things really, really, really obvious. Like, again, if I'm trying to think of like a super obvious example here, but if you're, gosh, selling blue jeans, you need to be on the internet. That's pretty straightforward stuff, right?
Yes, sir. So at this point, I would say that we're at the point of execution. We plan, we strategize, we know based on a competitive analysis what they're doing, where our customers are. We have a plan for collateral and content. So now it becomes into implementing and monitoring to optimize. At this point, whether you do it internally or you hire an agency to help you implement your marketing strategy, we want to set up a calendar, make sure that we have deliverables in place, and then a frequency of check-ins, looking at the data. When are we going to launch our website? Is it launched? When was our first lead through our website? Are we growing in our traffic? Are we getting more leads? How many followers do we have? If we're sending out emails, are we getting any leads through? And at this point, it's also good, I would say, to stay focused on trying to automate. We do help automate and integrate a lot of these processes once we launch them. We're in the day of digital, it's 2024. No need to keep with everything up on paper or spreadsheets. There's ways to automate a lot of these channels that are executing simultaneously to really give you reports that help you with track performance and really help the business optimize and adjust.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add there something, especially because we're starting about the beginning of the process. And I know you know this because we've gone through it a couple of times. We did some things wrong when we started the group, right? Like we made some mistakes, and that's fine. Everybody makes mistakes. You can always recover from mistakes. However, if you take the time to get it right up front, it's a lot easier to keep it right than it is to get it wrong and fix it. And so if you can take the time to build these processes, to build these automations early on in the life of your organization, it's really going to help you grow sustainably and without some of the, some of the headaches we've had, right? I mean, we're here providing this feedback because we've made mistakes, and so we've learned from them. So learn from our mistakes.
Yes, and my esteemed colleague and partner Mariano told me one day, one of our co-founders, he said, "If we have to make mistakes to learn, then let's hurry up." And I was like, "Let's do it." But it's gonna be a percentage of failure when you're pioneering and launching, and even in marketing, not everything's gonna work. But that's why having that data to really track what's happening, to monitor and optimize, it's very, very important. On that point, like from day one from AlphaCode, we've never launched a website without analytics. We don't see the point behind that. And it really hurts us when your business is going years of having a website without having the data to being able to go back and look at the data. So at this point, I say that if you already launched your marketing mix, you're just looking to adjust your strategy, automating and tracking the performance of everything and having frequent reports. This is our philosophy. All of our project managers and team members usually make a monthly report, sometimes more frequent, and we always try to bring value to our clients because the marketing, if it's not a returning investment and you're not tracking it, it can really waste money, waste your budget, and even have a negative customer experience for some people.
Absolutely.
Which this leads us into the part of the customer feedback and community building, right? When you launch your marketing mix, you launch your channels, you're doing your marketing, and now people are leaving you positive or negative reviews. people are reaching out to you and giving you feedback. Maybe the website is not working correctly, or it could be positive, negative feedback. But once you launch your channels, part of optimizing and making things better is definitely paying attention. And you mentioned Elon Musk earlier, and he said that people should spend more time talking to their clients than in meetings.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to add my two cents here as well. Not that I have anything more salient to say than Elon, but something that like a misconception that I see a lot with this piece specifically as it relates to digital. People think that like digital is on a computer and is really sanitary and is like you're just communicating to a computer all the time. And that's like not actually true. The world changed, but the world didn't change that much. The internet is just another way to interact with people. It is just a meeting hall for people. Old school businesses before the internet, you know, they would be part of a chamber of commerce. They would be part of local groups. They did proactive reach out to their local communities, all because it helped them grow their business. You still have to do that sort of thing. Whether you're still going to, you know, a chamber of commerce meeting or part of a local group, that works. But the same thing is true online. Go and join that group online. Join a message board that talks about what you do. Comment there, ask for reviews, and then leave comments on those reviews. Build communities. Community building still takes place and is, if anything, even more powerful online than it was in, you know, is out on the streets, if you will. Do not ignore this part of digital marketing. This is, to me, just like place, this goes with place. It is extremely important and one of the biggest differentiators for whether or not you're going to succeed or fail.
You know, on the success side of this, that's when people start looking at a logo and being, identifying with it and really having a feeling. And you think the work is done by a logo, but it's not. It's a whole strategy and a whole marketing mix and consistency and evaluation and improvement that eventually makes it feel like it's just this one logo that gives you this warm feeling, but it's really this promise, and behind that promise is so much of things coming together to making it seem so simple for people to identify with your brand and want to be part of it, where they spend their dollars with you.
For sure. It's also the cheapest clients are existing clients. The best clients to get are the clients you already have. That is true, has been true, and will remain true forever. If you can build clients that love you, they'll help you get new ones, and they'll also help you stay in business.
And you know, that's exactly what the value of the brand starts coming on, why this is so important. Because like over a period of time, your brand value can increase so much. And yeah, so it's never too late to get started with your marketing strategy, whether you're just starting your business, you already have it going, and you kind of have a website maybe, and you're not really paying attention, and you know you have to. A lot of our customers are honest with us and tell us, hey, I'm hiring you guys because this is not my thing. And we will help you. We'll help you build the strategy, execute it, and go along in the journey with you. And whether you do it in-house or you find a trusted partner, this definitely brings you value on the long term of your business.
Awesome. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk just a little bit about what are a little bit more specifically. I think, you know, we've talked a lot of strategy and even some tactics, but I just want to name like specifics. If you had a checklist, just so that you have this kind of easy reference guide, if you had a pen and a paper, if you were really treating this podcast as a time to take notes, now is definitely a great time to do so. So what is like the collateral you need, in my opinion, to start a new brand online? Well, first things first, a brand book. What is a brand book? A brand book is basically just, you know, 5 to 10 pages that communicates A, who you are, B, your visual style, and you can get more specific. You can get into giving hex codes for colors, picking fonts, things like that. But what you're really trying to do is communicate, hey, this is my language style. This is my visual style. This is what I'm looking for. It's going to help be your true north. It's also going to help you as you communicate with other stakeholders that you bring on board. Next, of course, you need a logo. Lots of ways to get a logo. Honestly, the AI tools are pretty great places to start. You can always find a designer as well. Next, a website. Online, everything flows from your website. It truly is the most important asset you have online. Followed very closely, depending on your industry, but in most cases by your Google My Business, your Google Business profile. That is a hugely important asset for you. The next one is social media. You know, social media is a thing that really does depend on who you are and your audience and what channels they live in and how you want to communicate with them. That being said, it's one of the best places to create an online community. Even if you aren't going to be an active poster or super engaged, I suggest at least kind of listing your business information, getting something about you out there on those profiles. So if people are interested, they can find you and then they can maybe come to your website. The next thing, ask yourself a question about ads. Ads are for some, ads are not for everybody. Definitely happy to have a longer conversation about ads. We can also go back and listen to our podcast about ads. I don't remember exactly which podcast that was, but I promise it's one of them. Next thing, everybody you work with, you know, you need an email, you need a phone number, right? You need ways for people to get in touch with you. All of that can be done pretty seamlessly, often through Google. There's a ton of providers. Just Google them or reach out to your agency. And then finally, the next two kind of go hand in hand. You need business cards and signatures for your emails. Just regular, consistent ways to tell people who you are, what you do, and how to get in touch with you. Really important stuff. Seems basic. You'd be surprised at how many people forget this stuff. And then, you know, finally, for me to wrap up with kind of my big point, my big idea here, everything you do, whether it's, you know, building a brand book, creating email signatures, thinking about your KPIs, or just, you know, running your first ad campaign, go back to the first two questions you asked. Who are you? Who are you trying to be? Who is your audience? What motivates them? I know that's four questions. The big two, who are you? Who is your audience? Think about those two things in everything that you do, and it will absolutely guide you to the correct answer and to a successful launch of your new brand. All right, I'm gonna wrap up for the day. So we always wrap up here with, you know, what piece of pop culture have you been engaging with that really is getting you excited lately? What are you watching? What are you listening? What are you doing related to marketing, not related to marketing, that gets you going?
Man, so I finally, and I'm taking from you, I know, but the Masters of the Air, I watched it.
Oh yeah, dude.
It was so good, man.
Man, that's awesome. Awesome show. Really cool show. Really great view of like what things were like. And this is totally different, but I love thinking about the 40s and the 50s from a marketing perspective. For one thing, because the internet didn't exist, but you saw so much of what we're talking about today just on Main Street, you know? Like back, and it's still true somewhat, but the visual image is really of like the 60s, 50s and 60s, and maybe into the 70s of a really well-marketed Main Street. You know, if you think about branding and something that's existed forever, but that goes back a long time, think about the barbershop. Think about the rotating candy cane thing outside of a barbershop. That is such a perfect piece of branding that started back then, signifies even today, this is a barbershop. That to me is like really, really, really cool stuff. What else have I been doing? Man, I've not been engaging with nearly enough pop culture, I'll say that. I watched a really cool show, again, taking it back to place, that was really specific, that made things, in my opinion, even better. Is a show called Everybody's in LA. It was like a 6-day talk show by John Mulaney. Kind of a hard thing to describe. It's on Netflix, but it's really, really specific to the comedy community in Los Angeles. And so in some ways it can be alienating, but what they found there is like the comedy and specific truths. I don't know who wrote it. This is an old saying. I wish I could attribute it. I would sound much more intelligent if I could. But something about how the more specific you can be, actually the more universal you are. If you try and be universal, you speak to nobody. But if you be specific about your experience and who you are, people can find truths in the specificity that speaks to everyone. And that show, I think, is a great example of that. By focusing specifically on Los Angeles, there's actually like ways to find comedy and to find connection that maybe you wouldn't in, say, an episode of like the Jay Leno show, which has no place whatsoever and is, you know, kind of benign. Like, be specific, have place, have voice, have personality. It actually makes you more appealing. If you're trying to be for everybody, chances are you're for nobody. So that's it, Juan Pablo. Anything else from you?
No, that's it. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in today. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Like and subscribe on Apple or Spotify. You can find us on social media as well. You can also check out our website, alphacomarketing.com. This has been Graham and Juan Pablo in Transmisión.
Ciao.